Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I am Bev Shoemaker, your worship leader for this morning. The pianist is Melissa Ogden, and our acolytes today are Bristol and Olivia. Our praise song for this morning is Open Our Eyes on the screen or on page 2086. Please stand. As we live and as God lives,
God will not leave us.
When fire devours and storms blow us astray,
God will not leave us.
When truth is veiled and confusion reigns,
God will not leave us.
When the world changes around us,
God will not leave us.
When we long to speak but find no words,
God will not leave us.
When all around us is silent, when faithfulness feels beyond us,
God will not leave us.
As we live and as God lives,
we worship the one who will not leave us.
Let us pray. Holy One, when the world is full of confusion and your message is hard to perceive, still we can see you. Still your presence shines, a light to illuminate the shadows. When we cannot find a way to speak your story, let your being shine in us and through us, that we might reflect your glory and your grace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is "O Jesus, I Have Promised" on page 396 and on the screen.
Thank you.
We're going to have our noisy offering at this time. Are they doing song? Aaron, are they doing song? No? Oh. As you bring your little buckets up, come on up and just, you can continue to hold your buckets, but come on up for just a minute. Yay. You know how to do that, don't you? I just want to talk to you just quickly this morning. We are so appreciative that you are here to take up this noisy offering, and every one of those coins goes to help different forms of people that are in need in this community and all around the world. These coins are used for many different purposes, but every single one of them is to help somebody in need. And so by you collecting those from all these good people here that brought their coins this morning, you are helping to collect that so that Suzanne, when Suzanne divvies everything up and she sends a little bit here and a little bit there, it all helps, doesn't it? It all helps. And there are many people that take advantage or that really depend on us to be able to give them the help they need. We were able to help a lot of people at Christmas time with food and extra expenses that they have at shelters and things like that. So thank you, kids, very much for being part of that process to collect those coins. So you can go ahead now and put them, shake them as you do it. Shake them as you do it. And put them up there on the altar. And then when we pray during our offering time, that's part of it, isn't it? There you go. That's part of that. Thank you, kids, very much this morning. We appreciate that.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Elijah taken up to heaven. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. May God add his blessings upon the reading of this word.
We have our prayer needs at this time. Some of those are listed on the bottom of the bulletin on the inside. And there are others that are on our hearts. Do we have unspoken needs this morning? Absolutely. Lots of prayer needs, certainly this morning. I know of several families that have lost loved ones, and I know some that are grieving for many reasons. There are others that are sick, some that are awaiting test results, some that are having testing, some that are recuperating from surgeries. We keep all of them lifted up in our prayers. Let us bow. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And we thank you for being here in this place this morning. You are our God of life and light. You never stop shining. Yet sometimes we forget to look for you in the sunrise and the sunset. It's always easy to remember to keep our eye. It's not always easy to remember to keep our eyes on you, to watch you and your movement in our lives, and to remember that you are never really out of our sight. We long for you, O God, especially when we've wandered away and we yearn to come home. Entrust us with a double portion of your Spirit this day when we need it most. Sometimes we don't even know what we need. We have no words to ask, but yet we know you're there listening, Lord, watching and just waiting. So we pray, Lord, today that you hear our prayers. You know our hearts. You know the burdens that we carry. I pray, Lord, that you will minister to us today through your word, through the fellowship. Lord, we pray that you will hear our every petition. For those that are grieving, for those that are sick, for those that have had procedures and aren't able to be here this morning, Lord, we pray for each one. We send our love. And Lord, we ask for your healing touch. We think of the five Marines that were killed this week in the helicopter crash. Please keep their families held tight, Lord, against you. Lord, help them through this difficult time. Lord, we ask that you feed us with your word as we are thinking towards the Lenten season, as we begin Ash Wednesday through Easter morning. This journey, Lord, help us through this journey. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, to remember that you are the light that shines on our path. Help us to honor you in all that we say and all that we do. Help us to be there, Lord, for one another. Thank you for hearing every unspoken need here this morning, and those that may have unspoken needs that are listening in right now, Lord. For those that are not able to be here or can't be here for some reason or another, Lord, bless them, embrace them, help them at this time. Lord, we love you, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would fill this place and fill our spirits today. Help us to be one with you, Lord. We honor you as we pray these words, Lord, that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. The word of God for the people of God. We had to kind of chuckle this morning as the Old Testament reading was read, and he kept saying, "Be quiet, don't talk." Be quiet. How human was that? Handled it similar to what we would want to say if it was something we didn't want to hear. He kept being reminded that his mentor and his friend was going to be gone, and he said, "Be quiet. Be quiet, don't talk about that." We are on that same learning curve, aren't we? The same as the disciples, the same as all of the folks that we read about in Scripture. Today, we're here to drink from the well of God's Word, to be nourished and strengthened for the walk of faith that is our daily pilgrimage. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, "Visit many good books, but live in the Bible." Today we live in these passages, we inhabit them, And we invite the Spirit of God to open our hearts and minds to the truths that these scriptures contain. Will you pray with me just for a moment? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As we open your word today, may our hearts be receptive, our minds alert, and our spirits attuned to your voice. Speak to us, Lord, for the servants, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' holy name we pray these things. Amen. The scriptures that we've read to you today that have been shared and have been up on the screen, and maybe you've read them many times before, are rich with lessons and insights. They tell us tales of men who walked with God, men who were chosen and prepared by God for a divine purpose, not unlike any of you here. We have been chosen, not just men, women, children, people of God, have been chosen and prepared by Him for a divine purpose. So this message is for all of you today, all of us. Elisha's determination to stay with Elijah, to walk with him and learn from him, was a crucial part of his preparation for his future role as a prophet of God. Every lesson you experience and everything that you encounter in this life is in preparation for you as well as it is for me to learn and to prepare for our future role, whatever it might be in God's kingdom. To know Him and love Him and serve Him no matter what gets thrown in our path, we get to prepare for that. And preparation is what this is all about. Leading up to the Lenten season, on Wednesday, well, starting Tuesday, the prayer time for that entrance into this journey. You know, I've done several mission trips in my ministry time, with youth especially. But before we ever left, we all came to the altar and we all were prayed over and consecrated in preparation for our travels. Not only for being in our vehicles and moving to another place, but also for all the people we would encounter, all the things that we would experience, all the opportunities we had to learn from this. To bind together one another, to bind together as people, as disciples, and work together. Not just to bind together, but to work together as well. And sometimes we don't always agree when we're working together, do we? And especially for teenagers, we don't always bind together. We want to do it this way, and somebody else wants us to do it that way. That's life, right? But it teaches us, every experience we have, whether it's positive or negative, teaches us and trains us up for our role in the future. I can't tell you how many times I've worked at Emmaus Walks and had somebody contact me even afterwards and say, I know what that mountaintop experience led me to help me be strong, because when I came home, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And maybe your mountaintop high was in another location or another experience. Maybe it was at camp or somewhere else. Maybe it was at a woman's retreat or a men's retreat. Whatever the case, I believe God prepares us for what is coming ahead. And we never know what that is. So today, we are going to just soak in every piece of God's word. And we are going to know that it's not coming in for no apparent reason. It's coming in because we're going to need it at some point in our life. We're going to need to have heard it. We're going to need to have grasped it. I think of, you know, our kids as they're growing up and they're going through all the phases of school. They're learning different things, whether it be reading or sounding out vowels, or whether it be algebra, or whatever the case might be. So many times we'll hear our kids, and we probably said it when we were growing up too, what am I going to need this for? We don't know what we're going to need it for, but it's never, wisdom and knowledge is never goes into waste. It's never done in vain. Everything we can soak in, everything we can absorb, and it's no different with our Bible and our scriptures, and it's no different with God's message. What does he have for us to absorb today that we don't know we need yet? But we need it, and we need to have it. We need to have it stored up in there so that we can recall it when we need to recall it. It's not done in vain. It's done for us to learn from. Your journey that you have had in this life up to this point is for you to learn from, and for others to see the magnificence of God through it, through your strength, through your perseverance. And you know, we talk about this, and I am going to get into this here in a minute, but our mountaintop experiences, those highs we have experienced where that light goes on, the light bulb goes on, when we experience God firsthand and we've watched him at work, and we say, thank you, Jesus. I get it. I get it now. I get why this had to happen or that had to happen. I get it. Those mountaintop experiences, you can't always stay on the mountaintop, but soak it in while you're there so that your life will be a testimony when you journey down. The scriptures have a rich lesson and insight. They tell us tales of these men who walked with God. Tell your tales too. Many of you have through this Lenten devotional that is going to be printed and distributed in just a short period of time here. Many of you have told a little bit of your story so that we can all rejoice and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in their life. Thank you for what you've brought them to and through. Thank you for the perseverance and the strength. Thank you for their testimony about you, Lord. Elisha's determination to stay with Elijah, to walk with him and learn from him, was a crucial part of that preparation for his future role as a prophet of God. He was being equipped, being shaped. He was being molded for the task that lay ahead. And he may not even known that was happening, just like many of us don't realize that preparation that we go through. It's a reminder for us that God often uses our current circumstances, our relationship and experiences to prepare us for what he has planned for our future. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? Think about that. Maybe when I mentioned the word a minute ago, you brought back some things to you about a mountaintop experience. A time when you felt so close to God that you just caught a glimpse of that glory. If so, maybe it became a real emotional experience for you. We know that our faith is not based solely on emotional experiences, but at the same time, when those times do come in our life and we have special encounter with God, and we know it was God because it couldn't have been any other way, that kind of experience can be emotional. And because of those emotions, it can deepen our commitment to Christ. The list of names from the Bible who have had mountaintop experiences would be extensive. Those who had an experience that gave them a unique glimpse of that glory of God. There was Adam before the fall who spoke with God. There was Abram who was called to leave his country. There was Jacob in the vision we call Jacob's ladder. There was Moses when God's glory passed him on the cleft of the rock. There was a time Isaiah saw the holiness of God and cried out in despair for his sin. Ezekiel was having a glorious encounter with God in Babylon captivity when the heavens opened and he saw visions of God. Not many can claim a Damascus Road experience, but it sure changed Paul's life. Not all of the 12 disciples experienced that glimpse of glory at that time, like those that were at the Transfiguration. But for those that did, Peter, James, and John, it was a life-changing event. Can you relate to that? If you've had a mountaintop experience, that perhaps for you was a life-changing event. You never forget it. They, for a brief moment, saw their Master Jesus in his glory. We've read to you the story this morning. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. How many times do we get reminded, listen to him? Listen to him, listen to him, listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but with them but Jesus only. The Transfiguration fits with the theme of what Jesus was trying to get over to his disciples, that he was going to die and they need to be prepared. I can't even imagine thinking I have this amount of days to help mankind understand what's going to happen here. And I hope they get it. I'm sure a lot of teachers feel that same way. You know, when they're teaching in front of a classroom and they're you know, sharing the best they can so that everyone will grasp. But they've got to stand up there on occasion and think, I wonder if it's even going in. I wonder if they're hearing and understanding. Maybe they're hearing, but are they getting it? The same, I believe, with Jesus, our teacher. Saying things, doing things, showing them, but wondering, do they really get it? I know you heard me, but did you understand me? Because you're going to need to draw back on that. You're going to need to rewind and say, okay, what was it he said? What were they trying to tell me? What was he trying to show me? And then realizing that Jesus did it all along, knowing that he wasn't going to be here, trying to give you as much knowledge, even though you're wondering at times, what do I need to have this for? Even the painful experiences, even the times of disappointment, sadness, heartbreak, those are learning times. We know what it feels like. And so we reach out to help others. These three disciples were on the high mountain alone with Jesus. They went up on mountains so many times to get away from the noise, right? The noise, the distraction. They went up on this high mountain This time the crowds wouldn't distract them. Jesus was alone with them. Luke tells us in another gospel message that they went up on the mountain to pray. And before their very eyes, something tremendous happened. As Jesus was praying, his face began to transform into a dazzling appearance. The Matthew passage says, and similar in Mark, says that Jesus' face shone like the sun. Even Jesus' clothes became dazzling white. Can you imagine them trying to describe that? Just like you describing your mountaintop experience, sometimes there just are not any words that are going to interject to someone else exactly what you experienced. You've got it in here, and you feel it, and you know it, and you've experienced it. But putting it at words so someone else feels what you feel, that's hard. The disciples had a task when they were putting this all together for us, didn't they? To try to find a word that would even describe how bright Jesus' clothes became. In Mark, we read this morning that it was brighter than any bleach could bleach it. And that's something we all get, right? We get bleach. We know what we do with bleach. So we kind of understand that. This is described in Matthew's passage as dazzling white. Whiter than any white we can imagine. Luke said they became as bright as a flashing of lightning. They were whiter than anyone could bleach them. And then two men appeared in glorious splendor and began to talk to Jesus. They were none other than Moses and Elijah. Now, I posed a question in KPAC this morning, and I'm going to pose it to you as well. If Moses and Elijah were standing right back there by Bert and John, I don't know what they look like. I don't know. I have to think that Jesus would just let me know that that's who those men were. But they immediately knew. I don't know about these guys either. You know, we didn't have photographs like we used to have, or like we do now, you know, where we take a little snap of everything. But they knew it was Moses and Elijah. We would hope we would know. And those two men had unusual circumstances in their departure from this earth. For Elijah was transferred to heaven in the account that Bev read to you this morning from 2 Kings. Elijah was walking with Elisha and a chariot of fire appeared and Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind. Now, wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? I would. I imagine it in my mind. You imagine like when you're reading a book, you have those images in your mind. And as they still went on and talked, behold, the chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two, Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind. Now, Moses died in Moab at the age of 120. His eyes were not weak. His strength was not gone. No one knew where his grave is. And apparently, many think he too was called straight to heaven. It's significant what Moses and Elijah represent. Elijah represents the prophets, those rugged men who spoke forth God's word with conviction and courage. Sometimes they were even called upon to make predictions of future events, of judgment, and of the Messiah. Elijah stood representing what the prophets stood for. And Moses represented the law. The books of the law, also called the books of Moses many times. The implication is that Jesus is meeting Moses and Elijah and represents him fulfilling all of the law and with these prophets, with the prophets. These two men talk with Jesus about the subject at hand. Jesus' own departure that's going to take place in Jerusalem. They perhaps were having a discussion about the cross with Jesus. Maybe they were interjecting some strength there, too, that he needed a lot of that, didn't he? With the human side of his persona, at least. Luke says that while Jesus was praying, Peter, James, and John were very sleepy. It must have been tiring climbing up that high mountain. And then they suddenly became fully awake when they saw the sight before them, a glimpse of Jesus in his glory. Nobody's going to sleep through that. It was a foretaste of what it was going to be like to worship around the throne in heaven. More like what we read of the exalted Jesus if you are in Revelation chapter 1. John saw his vision of the glory of Jesus once again later on the Lord's Day on the island of Patmos. Now that's certainly a dramatic devotional time. Being in scripture and prayer and to catch a glimpse of the glory of Christ, that's a type of experience that is going to change your life. You will never be the same. It should increase our desire to spend time before God in the Word, in prayer, with expectancy to meet our Lord in a unique way. And every time we come here, we come with expectancy. We come expecting the Lord to say something to us, to give us a word, to give us an experience, so that we will leave with something under our belts that we didn't have when we came in. As we prepare for this Lenten time coming up just this week, we barely got through the holidays, didn't we? Barely came through, and now we're headed on this Lenten journey. Rest up, folks. Rest up for the journey. We got good word this morning that we've got tons of entries for this Lenten devotional. We can't wait to get our hands on that. So look for those yet to come. A good way to start your morning, a good way to end your day. If you don't have another devotional, or if you do, use your other devotional too, but you know, maybe you would just like to open this up and take one every day and read through it. And then you've got your opportunity with the sheets that Monica and Bev have worked out in the back. Be sure and take one of those for your journey that you can help get through a little bit of scripture, a little bit of that devotion each day for this journey. Soak in as much as you can soak in. That's all I've got to say. Things happen, don't they? Things happen. No matter how young or old you are in this room, I know that we've had things in our world happen. And there was no advance warning. But we needed that scripture, we needed that strength, we needed that word from God to get through that situation, knowing that we hadn't been left vulnerable out there, that He's been here all along. He's been preparing us. You know, even if we go to the hospital and we go for surgery, many times there's a preparation process ahead of time. Certainly there's a mental preparation, but sometimes they'll say, stay off your medication for this amount of days before you go. Come in and have some blood work done. We're going to do an EKG. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. There's a preparation time for all of that, so that when the time comes, everything goes just like clockwork. So why would we not prepare our spirits and our souls and our minds and our hearts for whatever the world we're going to have to face in the next 5, 10, 20 hours, 24 hours, 24 days, 24 years, whatever the case might be. And my last thought here, Peter was overwhelmed, wasn't he? We got Peter, James, and John here in this situation, and they're thinking, what are we here for? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Am I supposed to be doing something? And Peter says, it says Peter's so overwhelmed with the experience of the transfiguration that he just blurted out something that really didn't make a whole lot of sense about building three shelters. How long did he think they were going to be there? We don't know. Rabbi, it is good that we're here. Let us make three tents, for one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. You know, we don't always have to have words. We don't always have to have words. God will give us the words if he needs us to speak. We often think we have to have wisdom or we have to have the right thing to say. And so much of the time it's just about our presence, just like it's Jesus' presence with us. Maybe sometime you've been caught so off guard by something that you didn't know what to say either. It happened a lot with Peter. Maybe it happens a lot with all of us. Maybe you could not believe that this was happening and what you were being asked to do. He goes on to say, a cloud overshadowed them and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And the disciples fell face down on the ground, terrified. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. It says in Matthew 17:6, there could be no doubt left in the minds of the disciples that Jesus is God's son. When you have those mountaintop experiences, it's to reiterate to you, I believe, that God is alive and well and here and ever present, still teaching, still empowering, still encouraging. He is still there guiding our path. The face of Jesus was shining like the sun. And the disciples went down the mountain with Jesus, facing a reality that Jesus is about to die on the cross. I don't know at what point they realized that. But just like we, when we're being taught, sometimes we question what we need to know this for. The most important glimpse of glory that you can ever have is through your own salvation experience. Through those learning times. Those who come to Christ might not see completely the whole picture. They know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior. And whatever comes after that, Jesus will guide us through each and every step of the way. But equip yourself and put on your armor. Get as much knowledge as you can. Be prepared for this journey that we will take in the days ahead. The recipe for power this morning is to let Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart and to soak in everything he has for you to learn from. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you this morning for feeding our minds and our hearts and our spirits. And as we soon celebrate Holy Communion together, Lord, feed us, nourish us, spiritually, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And now the choir is going to share an anthem with us, Love Grows Here. the symbols of what Christ has done for us that we get to celebrate together today, the body of Christ that was broken for each and every one of us here. And the blood of Christ that was shed for all of us. This sacred moment, this sacred time that we have to celebrate, that our future is bright and we have everything, everything to live for. Because Christ lives, we too shall live. You're going to be invited to his table this day. You don't have to be a member of the church. He wants you to come. If you want to spend some time at the altar and pray, it's welcome. You're invited to the Lord's table. Please come. Jesus, it was broken for you. Is there anyone that would like to be served at their seat? If you'd raise your hand. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share communion together, for what it means for us and to us, that we have been redeemed because of your shed blood, the body that was given for us. We give you thanks, Lord, that the grave was not the end, that you are alive and well, and working in the lives of each person here in this room and those that have been listening in. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Gracious God, you've given us a double share of your Spirit, and even more than we could ask for or ever repay. You blessed us with your love and filled our lives with your grace. Take now this offering of our hearts and our lives, that they may be instruments of your love and your mercy, your justice, and your grace. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is 389, Freely, Freely, in your hymn book and on the screen. People of God, God has shined life into you. You have seen it. Now go and let your lives and your light shine among men. Amen and amen. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie as our closing. Join us for potluck downstairs. Is that right, everybody? Yes? Please join us. Whether you have been able to bring something or not, please come down and share.